Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Uh-oh, guess what day it is? Guess what day it is? Huh? Anybody?
Monday, Tuesday, hump day is halfway.
It's Mike Shope.
Mike. What day is it, Mike?
And the Bulldog.
Hey, guess what day it is? Oh, come on, I know you can hear me.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Guess what today is?
It's hump day.
Woo-hoo!
On WGR.
Hump day!
Sports Radio 550. Gonna be that.
Do you like that moment when you hear that song and maybe that's when it occurs to you it's the middle of the week? Is that a good moment? Is it good?
Yes.
The song
yes.
is fine.
It's a good, yeah. I mean, I don't really care about the song, but it you know, it works. It's, you know, it's a hump day song. Thursday morning is garbage day, so before the show starts, I usually take the garbage out to the curb. So I have a cheat code on it's Wednesday. I don't need the hump day reminder song
okay.
because I'm already in a habit of doing that before 3 o'clock. So I like, oh, it's Wednesday, garbage.
It's a tradition here, this song.
I always have to triple check that it actually is Wednesday.
It's late in the day for most people. Like, it's late in the day. Your Wednesday work day is probably almost over.
Yeah, those people are like on a giant slide into the weekend already.
Yeah, I was just thinking about that. Like, this song sort of announces, okay, it's Wednesday now. It's been Wednesday for a long time. Many hours.
And here we are just starting our long day.
Mike, oh,
our week is not half over.
My kids are out of school already for the day. They're done. They're done. Joe and I were just talking about the Denver Nuggets.
Fun
team to think about.
We were talking about them through the prism of the Golden State Warriors.
The Golden State Warriors prism. That's right. Pretty good, right? 17 series in a row that they've won.
In the Western Conference, yeah.
If you don't count the finals, which they've, lost twice?
Yep. Or, and if you don't count the play-in tournament that they lost last year to L.A. and Memphis.
Never, friends, listen. Look, if one thing I've ever said to you, never count the play-in.
We're good not counting that?
I don't know. I think it's getting hard to say they haven't lost a series in however long you just said if they lost in the finals twice and in this play-in thing. I mean, I don't know.
Well, it wasn't really a series, though. Like, it was a series of games, but it was...
All right.
How many games do you need for a series? It was two games against two different teams. Is that a series?
Right. When they get into the actual playoffs, they win a lot.
They win every time. Unless they play someone from the East.
Until they play Cleveland.
It isn't a series unless you play the same team at least twice in a row.
Okay. Yep. Yeah, I'm fine with that.
Baseball, that's how it's defined. It's at least twice in a row. It's not a series.
The play-in thing otherwise. I think you can throw out. Then you gotta make sure you say they've won however many consecutive Western Conference playoff series. Yeah, that's fine.
Still good.
Yeah, it's good.
I wanted to get that number in.
I think you're trying too hard to put a consecutive thing together when you got to pull stuff out. That's all.
So a bit of a reach.
Boom. Right.
Bit of a reach.
Yeah.
Boom,
it's a little like, oh, look at all the teams above 500 Kansas City's playing. Well, they had 17 games last year, and like three of the teams were 9-8. So shut up.
The point is, when they are in the Western Conference, they will not lose the series.
Cherry picking.
Is that cherry? It's half the league. Is that cherry picking? It's not against.
No,
they haven't won 17 in a row against Dallas when starting game one at home. It's the West.
I like
they win
it.
Against the West.
I like it, but I like that Bulldog doesn't. So I'm just trying to fan the flames.
Yep. I'll stay right here the whole time. Quit trying so hard.
Trying too hard. If there is such a thing, Joe is being accused of it right now. Trying too hard. What an amazing thing the teams did today. Every player on the Bills?
Every player who was in town, I believe, and I think most are, but I mean, I don't think anybody's out there with a roster. But yeah, massive, massive turnout by the teams.
The roster I would use is Sal's pinned tweet. That's what I would use myself.
Right, right. I saw a tweet from Mark Polenkars that said it that way. Every Bills player, every Bills, Sabres, and Bandits player who was in town was here.
Just incredible.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
He also tweeted Chef Jose Andres was there. Which nice. That if that's true, that's awesome. All of this is awesome. All of it. Like the way it looked. I was not there this morning. The way it looked through the media, just amazing. Yeah. Thanks to those guys and just what an effort.
Yeah, I like that a lot. I mean, I think a few people I saw made the point. Brandon Bean was one of them. That you come there and see the people, touch the people, talk to the people, and work with the people and for the people of the neighborhood. It means more than a huge fat check. And I agree. I mean, the huge fat check has its place, and there's plenty of that too, right? I mean, I think the Bills Foundation and the league combined to donate close to $400,000, I think it is. So good, but I think it's so meaningful. It's got to be so meaningful to the families in the neighborhood to just be able to rub shoulders with those guys.
It's the second time this week I stopped myself and not quite in time. From saying congratulations instead of thank you. Like, thank you should be, that's what I want. Congratulations is definitely not what I want. It's more just sort of, it's what the word that comes to my mind when I'm trying to say that, trying to express that, great job on your effort, but it's obviously not the right word for it. Thank you is really what it means. And just so impressive. By all those guys, and really, thank you again. We've got the golf bet today.
Right.
Remember how when you do it, you say, you don't try?
Sure, yeah. There's not exhaustive research. I did, before the Masters, read a few paragraphs about a few guys, which is more than... Normally, I just look at the odds and, pick names. But I tried a little harder on the Masters. It didn't matter. I probably won't ever try again.
You have found it to be not worth the effort.
The 7 minutes of time I spent reading about guys and their history on that course, whatever. It doesn't matter.
Instead of thinking that maybe you should try for more than 7 minutes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Your conclusion is not to bother with the 7 minutes. Just yep. That's too much.
Yep.
Love it.
Yep. That's me.
You happen to be witness to this thread today that's maybe started in The Athletic. I'm not sure about, it was about the Colts and how much time their guys put in the front office on the draft.
I did see, yes, they took 4 days off over the course of 140 days, 12-hour weekdays, 6 or 7-hour weekend days. Yeah, I didn't see much reaction to it other than, just why do you think football people want football players to be fully committed to football? Because they're basically, they're lunatics and they work all the time like this. Look at this.
I mean, there were some points made on that thread. Eric Eager, who's been on the show several times, took part in it, that really were not interesting or to me or really right or meaningful. But I think the right point about it would be contrary to the notion that wow, the Colts, look at how great. I mean, you have people talking about how what that is to their employees. How much are you getting paid for this? And, the work load or work rate part of it. I just think more, me with the draft. I mean, why do we just not know yet? How do we just not know yet how big of a waste of time that probably was. You know, is it just for show? It's not. It's not just for show.
No. It's not. No.
It's like this notion that just an infinite amount of research and effort will get you to, you know, a better batting average, so to speak, with the draft. And how close to the edge are they already with the resources and the manpower and all of it? Really, is this maybe a little bit true, at least of the Rams, how, you know, they're more casual about it all? I don't know how many men or how many or men and women or how many hours or anything like that about the Rams. We know that they've traded a lot of their premium draft picks. We know that, what, they didn't go to the combine, or they didn't do part of the combine at least once in the last couple of years, or the Senior Bowl.
I think they have people there, but the big deal was Snead and McVay didn't go. Like, they weren't part of, or maybe just McVay, something like high ranking people there, like, sat out the stuff that is thought to be the interviews and stuff. I think they didn't take part in some of that stuff, is what it was. I don't think they skipped the entire process.
I'm sure that's right. But maybe they have a certain attitude about this. It means nothing to me to, like, campaign or anything for whoever we're talking about, whatever front office, say the Bills front office, for all those guys to get, like, you know, more vacation. It's not about that. It's just sort of this. It's offensive to me, this idea that they think they can beat it. You know, that they can beat the lottery, that they can stare at the numbers for long enough to figure out to know what the numbers are going to be.
Offensive.
Yeah.
Even you're going with.
Well, it's obviously not true. I mean, we just don't need to ponder that anymore.
I think that's easy to say when your name isn't on it. Like, I think, I don't know if I've ever said it exactly like this, but, like, you make this point a lot, draft out of the book, your daughter could do it. Like, you know, yeah, sure. But if your name is on it, like, I don't know. I think I would want to do as much work as I could to make sure I'm picking people I feel the most sure about. Now, I know that might, and, you know, I'm going to miss. I'm not going to bat 1,000. I might not even bat 500. But I'm going to want all the information that I can get. And I'm going to trust myself that I'm not going to be misled by it. And yeah, that's ego. And, you know, that's what you get when you get paid millions of dollars to pick football players. Like, your name is on that. You are writing scouting reports for your boss. You want to have exhausted every avenue so that when your name is on that, like, if it misses, well, it missed. But you know what? It was exhaustive and I did the work. And I think that's exactly how I would approach that job if I were the lowest ranking scout on a team, or if I were Brandon Bean. I think I would want as much of that information. I think I would be working those hours if I had that kind of job.
Well,
I think
some of what you're saying, I think, is appearances, and I don't mean that, you know, flippantly. It's some of what you're saying, I think, is how you look to your boss or how you look to your fans. You would never want anybody to think that you might not be taking it seriously enough, right? I mean, some of that is that.
I'm bristling at appearances. No, like, that's literally what the job is, in my opinion. And I don't know that I give a flying you know what about appearances. Like, if I'm gonna do that job and my name is on it. You know, we started here talking about my golf picks, and, like, my name's on that, but, I mean, come on. I'm gonna want to do that work. I think the information, you know, can be useful. Is it reliable 100% of the time? Of course not. Do coaches lie to you about their guys? Yeah, because they want their guys to be drafted, you know? So you got to find somebody that you trust, and, like, that might be a lot of the job. Is by weeding out, because, you know, how many guys have we heard from over the years that, you know, work, you know, oh, here's the tight ends coach from Arkansas, you know, the Bills draft. I'm just picking a position randomly. Okay. I don't have although they did pick a tight end from Arkansas.
Jason
once.
Peters,
Chris Gregg, maybe is who I'm thinking of. Anyway,
they didn't
whatever.
Draft Jason Peters, but he was a tight end from Arkansas.
He was. And then he became the Hall of Fame left tackle. Yeah. You know, those guys, oh, I'll tell you, this guy, you know, and it's just, you know, it's par for the course. It's just they're going to pump their guys up. You got to maybe find the other side of that story from other people who aren't as invested in the program, perhaps, but know and have information. I don't know. I just think information matters there. And, you know, sifting through what's garbage and what's not might be very time consuming, but I think I would want to do all that.
I think, you know, we have to I want to be more specific, but I'm not exactly sure how to do it. The article about the Colts said they took 4 days off from mid-December through draft weekend in late April. So what, like 4.5 months? 136 days in the building out of 140.
Right.
Hold up in the same dark room, stacking their board player by player. 7:30 to 7:30 on weekdays, 10 to 4 on weekends. And the takeaway is, you know, not originally by me, but I read some of the back and forth, and this is kind of how where I would land is, come on already. You know, most people, hardworking people in whatever job, you know, super high profile or not, I think would still tell you that there is a law of diminishing returns. There is a time where you need a break. You would say that about your job, and everybody would say that. Like, you know where you're at a point where you're just sort of like, okay, overload, right? And so we're talking about a staff here, and I don't know details, but I know, I believe that is extreme, and somewhere way short of that workload is good enough for your odds of drafting your best draft, I think. The other end of it, you know, you mentioned how I've talked about this over the years, my daughter, consensus, things like that. I do believe that. I do, and I think it's increasingly true and correct that if you have, I don't know, we have to make it about her. There's nothing about this that has anything to do with her. But just like, it means, when she was like two, I was saying this. Anybody could take all the information and all the rankings. It is so sophisticated. So much of it is public. So a lot of these guys, you know, they predict the draft too. They rank players too, just like the teams do. They'll show you their whole board. The teams won't. But they do just as well as the teams. How? Like, there aren't just 32 people who are good at this. Whatever you say the league is overall, there are hundreds of other people who are just as good at it. They're just not in those jobs. So, yeah, like, how much time would it take to do that at a success rate close to how the teams do? A tiny fraction of these numbers. So what should that mean? Should these guys never go to work? No, I'm not saying that. I want you to know that I'm not saying that. It's not that they should never go to work. But the way that the sport and maybe all sports, they have to have you know, it seems, that their effort is just undeniable. The absolute maximum effort is put into ranking these players and the whole process. And, you know, for me, that's an eye roll because it just shouldn't need to be on that level for the success rate that they have in the NFL.
I don't really know how, why or how that information came to light. To me, like, finding out about it is an eye roll, but I don't think that, for me, the work isn't an eye roll. But, like, you know, I'm going to assume you're doing exhaustive work on something that you find to be that important. You have this amount of people working for you. They should be doing something. So this is it. And, you know, it's something. It's a lot. It's 12-hour days, you know, for 4 months on end is what it sounds like mostly.
Yep.
So that's a lot of work. So I don't know. I don't need them to make sure I know about it. I'm assuming it. You know, so, like, if there's an eye roll for me, it's like, yeah, of course. Of course you're doing this work. So, like, I don't know. I don't really have much of a reaction to it. Like, I'm not impressed because I'm assuming. Like, we've heard these stories for all of our lives.
As soon as
we started following football as closely as we did, you know, I remember hearing about Dick Vermeil sleeping on his couch in Philadelphia, and that's why he had to quit, you know, for a while. Like, that's, you know, those stories are legendary.
It's also not surprising to me. Maybe the right takeaway is then the people part and not what I'm talking about more, like the success rate. Maybe it is the people part because, like, in what business would they tell you that 70 hours a week is actually, like, what you really ought to be? You know, from a performance standpoint, not even, like, production, but just Who would tell you that? No, studies would never tell you that.
That's optimal.
So what should the Colts want? The Colts should want the most optimal process, which would never be working everybody 72 hours a week for 5 months. Like, that's insane. So maybe from that angle, it's a better criticism than just like, oh my God, you're gonna find out one thing in there and flip somebody, and you know that's what you're saying is you want to make sure you give yourself the chance of doing that by finding out that last thing. But way too much randomness in this, most of which is beyond the league's control. It isn't their fault that it's like that. It's 20-year-olds. I mean, it's right. Injuries.
Well, the fact that there is so much randomness is why I think you want as much information as you can to try to limit the amount of randomness kicking you in the sack. Like, that's, I think, what you're trying to do. And that can be a fool's errand. I concede. But, my name were on that, I'd be doing that work. I don't know that I'd last long. I mean, I can't spend 10 minutes trying to figure out which golfers to pick for the Masters. I think I'd have a hard time working 12-hour days for months on end. Believe me, that would be challenging for me, especially coming from the jobs we've had for the last 20 years. But, if that were my career path and I loved it, like some of these guys I'm sure love it, and my name is on it, I'm doing everything I can to avoid embarrassing myself.
I do kind of like the parallel to the golf bet. That is why I brought it up. Because I did put an hour into it. Will that give me a better chance of winning than you had? It should?
Maybe, yeah.
But
I mean,
it doesn't have to. What's the difference? If you somehow knew percentages, maybe the percentages are very similar. We're still going by the odds.
Right.
I didn't go out there and pick the grass. You know, I'm just and I think sort of on this that granular level, that's kind of what the NFL does when they're scouting, is like, just got to, you know, you got to talk to everybody around the person, got to just do no stone unturned. And that's obviously not the case here. You and I both went, we looked at the odds, and maybe I read a couple articles, you didn't, and that's it. You know, like, that's the extent of it. But I do think, you know, it is on some level the same thing where we're both trying to be right. And our name is on it, as you keep saying, and there's even money on it, like there would be there. And so how hard do you want to grind?
The thing that is, I think, important to differentiate here is that, yes, my name, our name is on the golf bet, but we're not working for anyone.
Right.
But, you know,
right,
what I mean?
Right.
We're not letting anyone down if we slack.
That's
like
right.
If I choose to not do any research and pick my 10 or 7 guys if it's the Masters and I lose, I lose. It's not, you know, the Buffalo Bulldog golf team doesn't lose. Like, I lose. That's it.
That's right. That makes a difference.
Yeah.
If you had, I feel like that is inherent to your NFL point. Like, if you had people working for you, that would mean more to you.
Yep. Absolutely.
That's normal.
Yeah, that's pride in doing a good job. And for as much as I might sound like a slack about the golf bet, I have pride in doing a good job. Whether it's this or like anything I'm doing, I try to do a good job.
And you're going to spend those 7 minutes next time differently.
Yeah, we'll see.
Maybe you'll find 7 minutes for it. You have to find some minutes for it. You can't just do it in zero. You're just like, pow,
that's
done.
Right. That's right.
You know, you have to make a list, actually.
There have been years where I surely won that Brian's coming up. Okay, and so it's 5:55, and, oh, where are the odds? Okay, three, whatever. And just pick, I'm going to pick my guys, and I'll bet I won doing it that way.
Here, this is kind of fun. From the start of the show, the show started with something came up, and you said Joe is trying too hard. Now we're talking about this totally different thing, and I am saying you are trying too hard and not hard enough when it comes to the golf thing. And now you are going to say, I predict, that I am trying too hard at the golf thing. And I'm going to take a step in that direction, I predict, when I tell you that history will be made today in the golf bet. History will be made. A first in the history of the golf bet today.
All right.
And I bet you'll either figure out what that means, or I will tell you later what that means. You're like, you're trying way too hard. That's what
I can't wait. I mean, that's what a tease. That's 2.5, 3, well, that's a while away. That's 3 hours away almost, yeah.
6 o'clock, yeah. Right. Brian Koziol will join us then. Aaron Schatz today, too.
You like how I couldn't tell time there for a second? 2.5 hours.
You got there.
Yeah. Well.
803-0550 to call in. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, WGR.
This is not a one-stop shop. This is something that we all, you know, the Bills included, the whole community, we got to continue to rally around all the affected families. Yeah, the national media is here for now, but, you know, there's going to be another story soon. It's up to us, and we plan to lead the charge. And this is not going to, you know, leave people's lives in a month or a year. This is a lasting thing, and we got to do our part.
Bills GM Brandon Bean. The Bills, the Sabres, the Bandits. Attended in huge numbers today. Donations, prepared meals, handshakes, autographs. What a tremendous job. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog here. Sneaky Joe, Aaron Schatz today. And Brian Koziol as well, talking PGA. The PGA Championship starts tomorrow at Southern Hills. In Oklahoma. Did we decide where Oklahoma is?
I think it's disputed.
It's in dispute?
It's in dispute.
That was
The Midwest and the South, I think, are both laying claim to Oklahoma.
They? As opposed to, like, neither is laying claim. They're
or
both
maybe
claim.
That's it. Maybe nobody wants it.
It is not the South.
We had a listener that day tweet at us, says he lives in Oklahoma, and he doesn't know what it is either. He usually just goes with Central.
I think it's the Great Plains. I think, isn't it?
Is it even the Great Plains?
I don't know.
I think of Iowa as the Great Plains. And
it might vary.
It's in that same. I mean, plains are big. It's in that same.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got
got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's close enough there, I think.
It might vary within Oklahoma.
I'm looking at, I just Google searched like Great Plains map. And the highlighted region, I mean, it's like maybe half of Oklahoma is in this highlighted region.
More controversy.
Like Kansas, Nebraska, South Dakota. Like, these are all fully encapsulated. Oklahoma is like kind of.
Great Plains, I do think, like South Dakota. I think north.
I don't think Oklahoma is anything.
It can't be nothing. It has to
be
something.
I think it's nothing.
I think it's just definitely. I'm not sure what it is. I'm feeling. I don't think of the South. I think I said this the other day, and we talked about this. Anything west of like Arkansas and Tennessee, like the western edge of Tennessee. Like, I think that's where the South ends.
From the
even
western,
though those places, like Texas, is further south than Tennessee, but it's not the South. It's Texas.
Texas is Texas.
Yeah.
Oklahoma might be Oklahoma.
It's, yeah.
We're not a part of, you know.
It's wannabe Texas.
Like Buffalo is Buffalo, right? We're not upstate.
Well, we're western
New
York.
We're western New York. We're just like sort of ourselves. We're us. Yeah. We're us.
But I think the state is part of the Mid-Atlantic region, is it not? I don't think. Or are we the North? I don't think. Are we the Northeast? I don't think we're the Northeast. Are we Mid-Atlantic?
I think we're the North. I've thought of us as we're the Northeast. By the countries.
Come on.
If you look at a map of the country, here. It's in the Northeast.
Northeast.
There's nothing mid about where we are in a map.
All right. I accept the Mid-Atlantic.
Should we turn the mics on?
If you're mid and you go up, you're in another country. That can't be the case. If you're mid,
that's
you got to go
mid.
Up, and you have to be somewhere else.
Joe is citing the rule of mid.
I just Googled Mid-Atlantic. Map pops up.
Oh, boy. I didn't intend for this.
Well, too bad.
I know.
We're here. It's New York, Pennsylvania, New Jersey, Delaware, Maryland, Washington, D.C., Mid-Atlantic.
All I want out of this is if you're going to go to a map and you're going to like color in the states based on what the region is, that the one state that will just be left white, blank there, so it has not been colored in, is Oklahoma. Everything else has
been
colored in.
Sounds like there might be two.
Here, you're
New York might be another one.
Mid.
The rule of mid, not strong enough here.
I just got the Midwest opened up here, and it doesn't even have any of Oklahoma in it.
Okay, well, the question was, did we decide? And apparently we have not.
No,
Southern Hills is the golf course. I believe it's in Tulsa. And this is the fifth time that this golf course will have hosted the PGA Championship. What?
Sorry, I just saw another
TV?
Map that has Oklahoma and Texas included in the South.
I mean, okay.
Trouble.
So
Trouble.
Anyway, if I may, it's the fifth time the PGA will have been played at that golf course. No other course has hosted the PGA Championship more than three times. This is like the PGA Championship golf course. Scottie Scheffler, who was dominant in the Masters and is the world's number one player, one of the favorites, depending on where you look. He's not like the clear favorite at all for this tournament. He has called Southern Hills, this course, his favorite golf course. That's kind of cool, right? Like, do you have a favorite golf course? Sure, he's a professional, the highest ranked player, the top ranked player in the world. You know, you'd expect a guy like that, I suppose, to have a favorite golf course.
Yep.
Do we?
Probably, yeah. I mean, I would want to give it a little thought. I can think of when I played more regularly, places I really, really enjoyed and was excited when I got invited to. You know, private places,
yep.
More so than public. When I was trying to find, you know, Owen and I ended up finding a tee time last Saturday at Dandy Farms out in Akron, which I had played once 20 or more years ago, long time ago. And fine. Where I wanted to go was the place I probably played the most rounds of golf in my life, which would be Elm Meadows. And now having played there the most doesn't make it my favorite, but I really like it. Like, I really wanted to go there and play with him. Maybe even because it was his first time playing. Because I played there so much, I don't know how much I would remember or even how much things have changed there because it's been a long time since I played there. But I think if I were pushed, like, as far as places I have regular access to, you know, I love East Aurora Country Club. I played there 3 times. It might be my favorite place I've ever played, but, you know, I need a member to invite me to go play there. And my game and Owen's game is not really in country club shape right now, I would say, especially Owen's game. So, you know, Lockport Country Club, same thing. Been invited, really, really enjoyed it, but not a regular thing. Alma might be my answer. As far as like public places, I love playing golf there.
It's a key piece, right? The sentimental piece.
Yeah.
Where you've been, where you've had the most fun, maybe. Anybody drive the cart into the tree?
I want to get back there to see if they still have the picture of my friend's cart hanging from the tree.
Somebody can find that out for you, I'm sure. Yeah, like I like the question because it could be places that I think were like my favorite courses are not necessarily and usually places where I did well at all. You know, like CCR in Rochester. Tight, beautiful. I mean, there's no way I put a good score up the one time I played at the Country Club of Rochester. But I still, like, when the subject comes up, that's the course I think about first from living there, is the one time I played there. Cragburn was like that. I got on Cragburn as a teenager because my dad knew Gene Knox really well. And so she had him and me out, and I even played with Alexander McGillney one time when he was just on the Sabres. He just moved here, like real early in his life in North America. Like, that's amazing. And I think about that day or Steve Tasker and different times I've been there. I lost 20 balls every single round I played at Craig. Like, just it was awful. But
right.
Great, you know.
Sure, right. So, yeah, right.
If you were good
Country
enough,
Club of Buffalo, same thing. I played with Lindy once there, and I played with Rick Martin there once. And, I mean, those are unforgettable days. I didn't save my scorecard, I can tell you that. There's no way that went well for me.
In my example, like, where did the scorecard go? And I don't know. I must have blown off. We can't keep score anymore. We don't have any way of doing that.
Right.
Yeah, so if you're Scottie Scheffler, you're a pro. And that's really not a consideration. Being bad,
right?
Like playing poorly would not enter the equation. It would just be like you're good. You can play anywhere. So where would be your favorite? I like it.
Joey, I wonder if it's a place that he has played particularly well, though. You know, like,
yes,
for a pro, you know, you like the setup. It plays to your strengths or whatever. And so maybe it's just mental. You feel good, so you think you're playing better, so you enjoy it and you say it's your favorite. Or maybe he really scores better there than anywhere else.
Yeah, I mean, there would be a piece of that, but just the range is much narrower than it would be for us, you know.
Right, sure. Yeah.
Yeah. A good day at that golf course means you won a tournament there or something, or a good week. Joey, have a favorite?
I like Ivy Ridge, a little unique, just the Link style course. Same thing though, like where you've had really good rounds, but maybe the course is also a little bit tough, is what I go for. I thought when you first asked the question, we were talking about like pro golf courses that would be your favorite, even though you've never played them. Because my first thought was like Wingfoot, because I love to see the pros struggle the same way I do.
Give me like a Bethpage.
Oh yeah, give me plus seven.
The hardest
plus seven as the leader
of all time.
Yes.
The hardest layout of all time. That's what you want to take on.
I want DeChambeau mad because he hit it 3 yards into the rough and he can't find it. I want all that.
You want to be tortured, basically. That's what you're...
I want them to be tortured.
Oh, not to you for you to play, but
oh,
to
no,
watch.
No. I don't want to play that course.
Okay. You want to watch those guys be tortured.
I want to watch them do it.
I got it.
Yeah.
Yeah, you want that from the Open Championship, too. You want... like the high heather and just the winds and everything. You want it to be hard like that, I think. Most people watching want that.
Also, more and more, I just want the golf courses that have the carts with the Bluetooth speakers and little monitor. I feel lost without all of that now.
We had a whole new world.
Wow.
We had a little bit of a music battle.
I haven't experienced any of that yet.
We had a rap battle on the golf
course. A little bit of a rap battle on Sunday when our carts would be together.
We'd have Drake going in my cart.
And then, you know, Yacht Rock. Drake versus Yacht Rock.
That's a thing now?
Oh, yeah. Yes.
I don't approve.
At Glen Oak, all I had to do was, through Bluetooth, attach my phone to the screen, and I was just listening to my radio.
That screen is like, it's like having a caddy in the cart, because you, like it's got the monitor
maps
there
mm-hmm.
with the map of the hole. It's like, all right, if I want to land it in this spot, I touch it with my finger, it tells me exactly the yardage to that spot.
Mm-hmm.
If I want, I could click out and it tells me what the live PGA leaderboard is of what's going on, what the weather is. Just I need all the informations.
I'm here for that, but I don't need you pumping up the jams in a golf cart on the golf course while we're playing golf.
It's interesting how only like I don't know, 20 or 30 feet away, you couldn't hear it at all.
Yeah, there must be something designed about it, because when you're sitting in the cart, you can hear it clear. But then, like Mike said, like you park it at like the little cart path, and you walk 20 feet to the tee, and you don't hear it. So I think they're not distracted. Yeah, you wouldn't be distracted. I don't think.
Yeah, you don't want a bunch of guys rolling around on a golf course with like you know the thunderous bass kicking like you know rattling the windows of my home here sometimes. Yeah,
the wheels are bouncing.
Right.
No. No, but you don't want that. Yeah. I never heard anybody else's music if anybody else was doing it on course Sunday,
right.
Except for Joe and Adam. Aaron Schatz coming up. We'll talk AFC East. We always do some Patriots with Aaron, Football Outsiders, so that'll be cool. Brian Koziol, 6 o'clock hour time again for our majors bet. I'm up picking 10 players. I'm all set. I'll make sure to check to see if anybody else is like withdrawn. Sungjae Im. Paul Casey, I believe. Mickelson, of course, not playing. But this one is like all the top 100, except for a couple guys like that, is like that. This field is always, you know, loaded. Like the Open has, what, amateurs and exemptions and different things. The PGA is like, what, the best field maybe, deepest and best field. Anyway, so that'll be later. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here with Sneaky Joe. You can reach us at 803-0550. This is WGR.
I don't know what he's going through, but I know the comments he made about the tour and the way that it should be run, it could be run differently, and then all the different financials that could have happened. I just have a very different opinion on that, and so no, I have not reached out to him.
Tiger Woods on Phil Mickelson. Mickelson not in the field as the defending champion, which is rare. He's not injured or anything. He's just kind of on hiatus. And there's Tiger, who is in the field at Southern Hills. The last time the PGA was played there, he won in, I think, 2007. Rory McIlroy is one of the favorites. He's always one of our favorites to talk about when our bet comes around, like it will later today, because Bulldog had the one point once, and it's come back time and again. How, like, is he just great in every other event but the ones I pick him in? Like, what is the deal with Rory McIlroy? Why is he always favored or close to it, and yet he shoots like a 78 or something in the first round and then scratches his way back to like a fifth.
Right, and then then on Sunday it's like, whoa, he's the guy you're seeing finishing up at like 4 o'clock when the leaders have just started at 2, and he's like, well, if only Thursday had gone better, you know, because he's and that happened at the Masters this year, and we said that, I said that again before the Masters, I did pick him, and of course that happened. He was terrible at the beginning, and Brian maybe knows the stat, like his. His first round of majors, he's over by what some big gross number over many, many years now. And then the other three rounds, he's like way, way, way under. So he's you know, we were on to something. Even though I hadn't checked the stats, it checks out.
He did end up second at Augusta. Who was the coach of the Bills the last time Rory McIlroy won a major?
Lou Saban.
Close.
Doug Marone.
Doug Marone is right. And he's only 33. McIlroy, not Marone, I think, is older. But McIlroy is only 33, just turned 33 even. But he was 25 the last time he won a major, 2014, and he's won four. Well,
he's still got plenty of time.
We'll see. I know, but you don't. We'll see if he's on my list. I'm excited to get to that later today.
Is Rich Beam on your list?
Maybe.
I love looking at the bottom of the odds. So there's John Daly. There's Michael Block.
Daly's entered?
He's in there.
Bulldog.
Plus one. You can have him for a cool plus 100,000.
Have you seen him lately?
No.
It's awesome. It's Joe, we were watching a seniors event last week. It's awesome.
What are we talking about?
White beard.
Yeah.
You know, orange pants in this event last time. Who knows? I'm just, you never quite know what to expect there.
Right.
He looks a little bit like the guy your kid might design on the golf game on the video on the Xbox or the PlayStation.
Maybe, yeah.
He had, this might have been a different day. The other day he had pants on that were like St. Louis Cardinals that would, like, it's as if he cut like child bed sheets of the St. Louis Cardinals.
Right.
Like, look, he just
pajamas.
Took pajamas. Exactly. He was wearing pajama pants.
Can't wait to see the kit tomorrow if we get a peek at John Daly. Yeah, I guess former winners. Rich Beam, Daly, former winners at the PGA. All right. Football next. Aaron Schatz from Football Outsiders joins us. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, WGR.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.